This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message. And if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
We're going to take a hiatus from our journey through the Gospel of John and focus on Joseph this morning. We'll be reading from Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Would you please stand as we prepare to read? Holy Spirit, we thank you for this word that you inspired. And Holy Spirit, we acknowledge once more that you are the true preacher and teacher here. It's your voice we want to hear. So open our minds, hearts, and spirits to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Beginning in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 18. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. And actually, a better translation is he decided to divorce her quietly, because it wasn't engagement back then like we know it. It was something called betrothal. It was much stronger. It was a firm thing, and it was a very big deal to break a betrothal. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. You know, we don't hear much about Joseph in the Gospels. Only Matthew gives him real prominence. Mark, there's no mention of Joseph. John's Gospel, there are a couple of mentions as the father of Jesus. Luke, he's mentioned as Mary's husband. He's at Jesus' circumcision. And then the incident at the temple, which we'll talk about later when Jesus is 12. Only Matthew gives us a picture of what kind of man and father our brother Joseph was. And in this first passage, what we hear is that he is Joseph the righteous. Now, not righteous in terms of eternal salvation, but righteous in terms of daily living. The way he lived his daily life aligned with what he knew of God. And where did this come from for Joseph? We don't know absolutely certainly, but we do know some things about this situation. He clearly knew the Hebrew Scriptures, what we call the Old Testament. And he knew in this situation of his betrothed turning up pregnant before they're fully married, he knew what was allowed. You see in Deuteronomy 22, 23, and 24 that if a man and woman are caught in adultery, you can stone them both to sort of make sure it doesn't pollute the rest of the community. That was allowed. Now, thankfully, by the time of Joseph and Mary's time, it wasn't real common, but this was an option. This was a genuine option. And that was part of Joseph's context. And by the way, I do have this charming illusion that you might remember next week something I say this week. So just keep in mind that Deuteronomy passage for next week, where a woman caught in adultery can be stoned. Joseph clearly didn't go that path. Here is who he chose to emulate. If you go back to Exodus 34, 6 and 7, and the context of this passage is that Moses is right at the front end of leading the people of Israel, and he's intimidated, and he should be intimidated. He's leading a huge crowd of people out of slavery and having to lead them to this promised land eventually. And it's a huge job. And he realizes he can't do this job alone. And so what he says is, look, Lord, if you don't go with me, I can't do this. And I need to know who you are, God. I need to know your name. I need to know more about you. I need to have a more intimate relationship with you, because these are difficult people I'm leading. And God says, fair enough. He says, absolutely, I'll go with you. But then when he passes before Moses, here is what he proclaims. He says, Yahweh the Lord, that's his name, the God of compassion and mercy, I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. This is who I think Joseph had decided to emulate, God, his own father. You know, God the Lord was Israel's father, but Moses was serving as their earthly father, guiding and teaching them until Moses' work was done. Jesus is the beginning of the new and renewed Israel, which would eventually encompass anybody who becomes a follower of Jesus, like us. God being his father. But Joseph playing a role like Moses, guiding and teaching Jesus until Joseph's work was done. There's another passage that I wouldn't be surprised that Joseph went back to in this context. It's in Hosea. And here is what the Lord tells Hosea. This is Hosea 1, 2, and 3. When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea the prophet, when the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, go and marry a prostitute, so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. This will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods. So Hosea married Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she became pregnant and gave Hosea a son. Think about that. Hosea was called to be a faithful husband to an unfaithful wife as a living example of God's faithfulness to his unfaithful people. Hosea faced humiliation and scorn from the people around him who did not have the eyes to see or the ears to hear that Hosea was a main character in the drama, revealing how patient how long-suffering, how faithful God was being to his unfaithful people. Hosea suffered. Mary was not unfaithful, but almost certainly the entire village of Nazareth thought she was. Throughout all of Jesus' childhood, teenage years, maybe until the cross itself, the resurrection, we don't know. But certainly through all his growing up, she wasn't unfaithful, but the whole village thought she was. And Joseph chose to follow in Hosea's footsteps, accepting a lifetime of scorn and humiliation from others who did not see, did not recognize the astonishing drama that was unfolding before them. Two ordinary people, Mary and Joseph, sacrificing their reputations, their image in the community, for the sake of God's eternal plan for the human race. They were just two ordinary people whom God called to something absolutely extraordinary. Don't you ever think, do not ever think that you who are in Christ Jesus, that you don't have, can't have an impact on the entire human race. And you know, it's important to remember that Joseph did not make that decision to remain betrothed to Mary when that dream came. Think about this. Actually, he had made that decision long before, when he decided to live a righteous life, a life that aligned with whom he knew God to be, a daily life of being generous and kind to those in his community and welcoming newcomers, a daily life of being an honest workman, trustworthy in all his business dealings and fair to any employees he may have had, a daily life that reflected the daily life of his God. He had made the decision to obey the dream long before. He just didn't know it. He just didn't know it. It reminds me of a story I think I've told before. Bears telling again. Not a story, it's a true incident. Story of James Calvert from the late 1800s. James Calvert was a missionary to the cannibals of the Fiji Islands. By the way, you can go and vacation safely in Fiji because of this guy. When he and his fellow missionaries were preparing to land on the island, the captain of the ship that brought them tried to get them to turn back. "You will die, and everyone with you will die if you get off this ship," he cried. After a moment, James Calvert replied simply, "We died before we came here. We died before we came here." Joseph had made the decision about that dream long before he had it. The next thing we hear about Joseph the righteous, these passages in Matthew 2, beginning with verse 13. The wise men have come. So, you've got to know, at Christmas time, we have the shepherds and the wise men all showing up at the same time, right? And that's not how it happened. The wise men were much later. So Joseph and Mary were in a house already. But after they leave, here's what happens. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," Flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod, King Herod, is going to search for the child to kill him. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, I called my son out of Egypt. And then skipping over to verse 19, when Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Get up, the angel said. Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead. So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophets had said, he will be called a Nazarene. This is Joseph, the protector. You know, I was watching a movie a while back, and there was a scene with a father at a supper table with his wife and their three boys, young boys. And the father looks at his boys and he says, sons, there are three kinds of people in this world. Predators, prey, and protectors. He said, if I ever catch any of you being a predator, it won't go well for you. You three need to be protectors, not predators. The most powerful person in the country, King Herod, wants the baby Jesus dead. Here's a good question. Why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't God do something? Right? Well, he does do something. He does do something. He relies on a faithful human to protect his son. You know, in the beginning, God gave the care of this planet and its people to us, to human beings. Then the first humans abdicated their responsibility and gave it to the evil one. But God said, no, I'm not giving up on this plan. Humans are going to continue to be integral leaders in my plans, including us, by the way, right? And so we see people, fallible people just like us, Abraham, Moses, David, and many others, all being protectors, opposing those who choose to be predators, opposing those who choose to be predators. We could add Esther in that list and other women from the Old Testament. And Joseph knew that history well. Herod chose to be a vicious predator. And Joseph chose to be God's protector. And you know, the only question is whom we will choose to be. Well, the last time we see Joseph is in Luke 2, chapter 41. Luke 2, verse 41. Here's what we read. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere." "But why did you need to search?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. This is the last we hear of Joseph. You know, one commentator has written that Jesus went to Jerusalem a boy, and he left the temple as a man. Can we say that a big part of Jesus getting there was watching Joseph day by day live a righteous life before God? Was there a bittersweetness for Joseph that the son he had raised was now a man who had his own relationship with the living God and no longer needed Joseph? A son who had his own path of obedience, suffering, and sacrifice laid before him, becoming the protector, the sacrifice of his life for the salvation of the world. On this Father's Day, all of us, let us follow Joseph in faithful righteousness and in being protectors of the vulnerable. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. If you would like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. God bless you today.